Wednesday, 5 p.m. In case you needed to be reminded, time for American Hit Radio on 90.3 WHPC. I'm your host, Tom Ryan, doing this every Wednesday and Friday between 5 and 6. With me, of course, my lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales. Ryan here as well to run the board and to make sure that I keep on the straight and narrow. Of course, on Wednesdays, we've been doing these consecutive countdowns. I'm sure if you're listening regularly, you're probably tired of hearing me saying this all the time. But we started a list, what we called the Alternative Top 40, 500 albums that didn't make the Top 40. I thought of that as an idea for like a book, something that I could write. So I picked 500 albums, arranged them in chronological order between 1964 and the present, and started writing about them, and then realized, you know, I should do a radio show about this, which then got me thinking that, well, if I'm doing 500 albums that didn't make the top 40, I should choose another 500 that did to balance it out so you can more or less get an idea of what, a feel for what was happening in that time. If you're just looking at albums that didn't chart, you might not have a real good idea of the feel for the era. So this is interesting because in a way, this whole series is very much like what we do on Fridays, which we call How Music Changed, because we are literally hearing how music changed over time, because we're doing all of these albums in chronological order. We started a few years back, and we are now up to the year 1971, and what we are going to be playing today is an album. Did I say February 1971 already?
I don't know. I was distracted because I didn't get my list.
That's because you're distracting me and I forgot what I said.
Well, next time, give me my list.
Well, we are, as I said, we are up to February of 1971. This is maybe not so odd, but there was a good month because we've already covered two albums from this exact same time period. Carole King's Tapestry album was eventually went to number one, and that was released in February of 1971. David Crosby, If I Could Only Remember My Name, we played that last week. That went to number 12, so that was on the top 500 of the top 40 count. And this album, which just made it, squeezed in at number 40, and it's called The Yes Album by the band Yes. Now, a lot of people who maybe don't know the band's history would think that this album is their debut, which is not the case. They had two albums that they released before this that didn't sell very well. In fact, they were almost going to be dropped by their label. They were on Atlantic Records, and the first two albums, it was a slightly different band back then. They would do a lot of cover songs. They would do songs. They did a song by the Beatles. They did a song by Buffalo Springfield. They did a... You get the idea. And they also had a few of their own songs, original songs. But the album that brought the band together, where you could really feel that the formula was starting to gel, was this album. And especially in terms of like the fact that they were starting to come up with these ideas for long-form songs. This entire album has six tracks on it. It's an average-length album, but the songs... four of them are over 7 minutes, two of them over almost 10 minutes in length. So it's an interesting piece of work. And just about everything on this album, I would say, is considered to be a classic for the band. Now, Yes, as a band, represented a significant change in the progressive rock movement around this time also, by moving it much closer to the mainstream through this album. Until the Yes album, progressive rock was mostly a rarefied style that belonged to music theorists and the technically gifted. Now, Yes were certainly not slouches as musicians, but they had a pop sense that made their music palatable to mainstream music fans. This is an album that you could hum along with the melodies while the music moved in all sorts of unpredictable ways. As I said, the band released two albums before this, but this album represents a stylistic change that shaped their sound for the next decade or maybe even more than that. So Let's kick it off then with the opening track from the Yes album, this song entitled Yours Is No Disgrace on 90.3 WHBC.
We'll be right back.
goes. Still sounds good after all these years, this album. Yours Is No Disgrace is the name of that song. The album itself is simply called The Yes Album. It's got an interesting cover in that eventually, of course, it would be Roger Dean who would be associated with the band because he did all of those like very spacey covers that would represent their output after this album. But at this point, they weren't using Roger Dean yet. But the band had gotten into a pretty bad car accident just the day before the photo shoot was scheduled for the album. And if you look at the cover, you'll see, I believe it's Tony Banks sitting with his foot in a cast. Yeah. It's a freshly, they just basically returned out of the hospital and went from the hospital to the photo shoot.
No wonder they
looked so glum. Right. Wasn't a good day. So it's a rather interesting. And they were in a studio and that wasn't working. So basically the photographer just grabbed a chair and he had a couple of dummies. Like, I guess, what do you call them?
Wig dummies, the heads that hold wigs.
Exactly. So they just put that into the middle of the shot, and that became the album cover. It wasn't a lot of thought put into it. The band itself is not quite at what would be considered their classic lineup. The classic lineup would include Rick Wakeman for sure. Rick Wakeman is not in the band yet. The band came together to get to this point, a short history. Bassist Chris Squire formed a team with the guitarist Peter Banks. Eventually, they were introduced to John Anderson, who was working at one of the clubs where the other two were playing, and they started writing some songs together. They recruited the drummer, Bill Bruford, certainly one of the most technically gifted drummers of his generation. There's almost no doubt about it. I'm stunned by how talented Bill Bruford is. You listen to his work with Yes, and it becomes very clear, especially when he leaves the band and he's replaced. You can feel the difference. And then he, of course, goes on to work with King Crimson and plays some of the most complex and difficult music ever written. Forget whether or not it's just progressive rock. I mean, of any form of music, it's incredible what Bill Bruford is capable of. And Tony Kaye was the piano player and also eventually came to play organ. The reason his time is short-lived in this band is because on this album, the band was beginning to recognize that they could have a real use for somebody who was familiar with synthesizers and how to use them. And Tony Kaye wasn't really interested in that. He wanted to play piano and organ, didn't really want to be playing synthesized instruments. So after this album was released, he was outed. And then they already had Rick Wakeman in line to replace Tony Kaye. So there you have it. But that's why you don't hear an awful lot of like synthesizer in this album. What you'll be hearing, like on that last track, you'll hear Hammond organ and piano. It's mostly what Tony was playing. Steve Howe, the guitar player, this is his first album with the band. The previous guitarist was let go. And Steve Howe was brought in, another incredibly technically proficient musician, and that's why the change happened. The band had heard Steve Howe, and listen, when they were a young band, they were opportunistic. They said, listen, we've got to really get the best that we can for what we're doing. And Steve Howe was good on electric and acoustic guitars, so he added an awful lot of different flavor to the album. In fact, this next song is his. Steve Howe wrote this. And this is, again, this is a funny thing. I have the original album when it was released, and this song on the album is entitled The Clap, which I always thought, that's rather odd to name a song after a sexual disease, right? And then it was made even odder when I had learned that the song was written to celebrate the birth of his son, Dylan. I'm like, why would you write a song about your son's birth and call it The Clap? Turns out that it was a misprint. The album should not have said The Clap. It should have just said Clap. It was that simple. And subsequent...
As an applaud.
Yeah, exactly.
Why didn't he call it Applaud?
It would have been a lot easier, wouldn't it?
The Applaud.
Well, he was influenced by people apparently like Chet Atkins, And he was also around that time, Mason Williams had that song Classical Gas, and he just started to write this acoustic bit, and he performed it live. I believe it was at the Lyceum. Yeah, the Lyceum Theater in London. So this is the only live track, and it's a solo performance by Steve Howe called simply Clap on 90.3 WHBC. A very cool little guitar piece there called Clap, written by the guitar player, of course, Steve Howe. A lot of the songs on this album were written in an organic manner. The band having, you know, come together and now coming up with these longer songs, they were writing them actually piece by piece, and then they were eventually edited together to become the songs that they are. It wasn't even like they were necessarily conceived as such. But when they edited them together to make what became this album, then the band would learn the songs from the arrangement that they had pieced together in the studio. So it's rather interesting. Literally written piecemeal and then joined up. Like, for example, this next song is titled Starship Trooper. It's made up of three distinct parts. Part A is Life Seeker. Part B is Disillusion. And part C, with the chord progression, is called Worm. Put it all together, and you get a nearly 10-minute-long song, which I one of my favorite Yes songs, actually, called Starship Trooper on 90.3 WHPC. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
That was one of my favorite compositions by the band. That end section is really one of the simpler things they've ever done, with just three chords repeating over and over again. But it's awesome the way that it crescendos like that. And then it, at the end, you hear Steve Howe playing, basically dueling with himself on guitar, playing question and answer lead in left and right channels. It's a bit exciting. And that would be the way that side one ended, by the way. So we will flip the record. And we'll start off with what actually was the single from the album. It's another one of these songs that was built out of two pieces. There's a piece called Your Move. And the subsequent funkier rock section of the song is All Good People. The Your Move section was released as a single. And it was actually getting airplay for a while here in the States. It's the song that... That brought the band to a broader audience, in a sense, because it was actually getting airplay even on AM in its time. So here then is the, again, another construction called I've Seen All Good People on 90.3 WHPC.
I've seen all good people turn their heads each day, so satisfied I'm on my way. I've seen all good people turn their heads each day, so satisfied I'm on my way. Take a straight and stronger course to the corner of your life. Make she hasn't got time to make you wife. Cause it's time in time with your time and his news is captured. For the queen to use
depending on whether you were listening to AM or FM in the year 1971, you would have heard that entire composition. I've seen All Good People, Your Move, All Good People, on the FM stations for the full 7-minute length. And if you were listening to AM, you'd probably be hearing the opening segment, the quieter segment called Your Move, which was released as a single and did reasonably well. As I mentioned, we are playing the entire album known as the Yes Album, which was released in February of 1971 and just barely cracked the top 40, reaching number 40. That's what it peaked at here in the States. And this next song is the only song on the album that the band like really did not play live. Every other song on this album has been part of their live shows. But this next one, not so much. It's interesting in that it has the keyboardist, Tony Banks. Wait, I'm getting his name wrong, aren't I? I always do that. Tony K, excuse me. Banks was the guitar player that left the band earlier. Sorry, Tony K playing a sort of a jazz piano on this song. It's a rather unusual for Yes. It's called Adventure on 90.3 WHPC. Adventure from the Yes Album. Around this time, when the band was recording this, like as I said, Atlantic Records was wary of the band since the first two albums didn't sell well, and they were seriously considering dropping them. And one of the songs that the band recorded during these sessions was another cover song. They took Paul Simon's song America from the, you know, Simon and Garfunkel from the Bookends album, and they recorded a 10-minute version of it and submitted that to Atlantic, and I guess they didn't really quite know what to do with it. So they had a promotional idea that they were trying to promote some of their lesser underperforming artists or odds and ends that they had. They put out an album called New Age of Atlantic. I remember this because I owned it. It was one of those things where you could get it relatively inexpensively. And it was cool because it was like a way to turn me on to different artists. And the song America by Yes is fabulous, really. They do an incredible version of it. It's very radically different from the way it was done from Simon and Garfunkel, of course, but it's absolutely worth hearing. It's worth looking up if you don't know it. On that same album, New Age of Atlantic, I remember this. There was a song by Loudon Wainwright on there that I had discovered because of that album. John Prine, the song Sam Stone, was on that album, and that's how I discovered John Prine through New Age of Atlantic. It was very cool. And I wasn't, you know, Led Zeppelin was very popular already by 1971, and they were really heavy, and I wasn't really that sold yet on whether or not I was going to be a fan. But on the New Age of Atlantic album, they had a song called Hey, Hey, What Can I Do?, which I absolutely loved. I thought it was such a great song. It turns out that it was like a B-side. It was an LP song that was one of my favorite Led Zeppelin songs. So the New Age of Atlantic was really worth it for me. Hear that album in its time. And it also, by the way, it introduced a lot of other people to Yes while this album came out. And with the time that we've got left then, I think we can drop in the very final song. It's called Perpetual Change. If you're interested, by the way, in hearing our show in its entirety, go to the web, check it out. You can hear this show again, or you can hear all of the shows that precede it, of which there are approximately 250 of them, they're all there. So you can just go search on the show's name. Just search for American Hit Radio, or if you want to go to the URL, it's AmericanHitNetwork.com. It'll get you right there. But search for either and it'll work. All right. So we leave you with this. Have a great evening. Stay warm. And here is Perpetual Change on 90.3 WHPC. Every single day.
truth is gathered, I rearrange. Inside out, outside in. Inside out, outside in. Perpetual change.
90.